We're going to start this morning in the book of Job. We're not going to preach a typical message that you might think from the book of Job, but that's where we're going to begin. We're going to look at several different passages of Scripture this morning. Next week being Friend Day, I want to look this morning, as well as next Sunday, at the subject of being a friend. Friendship. One man said, some people make enemies instead of friends because it is less trouble. It's easier to make an enemy than a friend. Another said, friends are like good health. You don't realize what a gift they are until you lose them. How true that is. I want to look this morning at what is a friend. When you say you are a friend, or when you say you have a friend, what is that? What does that mean? What does the Scripture have to say about being a friend? This week we have the opportunity to go out and invite friends, or invite those that maybe we don't even consider to be a friend, but we invite them as a friend to come and be a part of Friend Day. Can we be a friend to someone this week? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will use these thoughts, particularly your word, to refresh us, to challenge us as to this idea of being a friend. Lord, we know we have no friend like Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, might we see some things from thy word today that show us how to be a friend and how to choose our friends. Thank you for this emphasis these next couple weeks on friendship, Friend Day. May you teach us concerning how we can be a good friend, a better friend. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look first of all at life without a friend. You know, life is lonely without a friend. Charles Spurgeon said, friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not found a friend. A friend is often the difference between one's success and another's failure. You have known a friend that has come to your aid from time to time. I hope you and I have been able to be a friend to someone else in their greatest need, in their greatest hour. I'm sure we could give testimony today of friends that have been there. We could probably also give testimony of so-called friends who haven't been there. A false friend is certainly a liability. Think of the prodigal son. He thought he had many friends until he ran out of money. And then he found out who his friends really were. If we have friends that are only there for our money, which probably not too many of us have too much of anyway, that's a liability. There's no one there to help and to be a friend in time of need if it's based on material things, money, or other things of value. I've mentioned before the couple of hurricanes that we have come through this area. You find out some real friends there. They come to our aid, come to help us. Is there anything we can do to help? You lose power for a while, and friends are there to help or not there to help. Sometimes you lose power or things like a hurricane come through, you see a lot of selfishness, even stealing, criminal acts. But you also find out true friendship. False friends will not be there in time of trouble. I think Job could give testimony of that. When Job was tested, his friends basically deserted him. You know, they thought they were his friends, but they really didn't do much to help him in a very difficult time. So I want to look at a few verses here in the book of Job. And I want us to challenge ourselves. Let's not be this kind of friend. Let's be a friend that is there to benefit, to help in time of need. In Job chapter 6 and verse 14, a false friend, or a friend that we might consider a liability, is someone that really offers no pity. Job 6:14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. Pity should be shown a friend. Chapter 19 and verse 21. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Pity when someone is going through some adversity, some difficulty, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it might be. Another attribute of what we might consider a false friend is someone who forgets his friend in time of need. Job chapter 19 and verse 14. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. You know, it's one thing to be a friend when somebody is going along pretty well, but it's another thing to be a friend when someone is going through a very difficult time. Job is saying here, my familiar friends, or the idea here is my close friends, the ones whom I consider to be my pal, my buddy, have forgotten me. He even said his kinsfolk, even his family, was not there in time of need. Something else about a false friend is he abhors the friend that is going through adversity. Chapter 19, verse 19. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Maybe there's someone that comes to mind in your life that you went through a difficult time, and those that you thought were your friends had just kind of went elsewhere. They weren't there. They left. They forgot. They abhorred. They weren't there to encourage. They weren't there to challenge. Well, that's all in the past. Our concern is us. Let's not us be that kind of person. Let's be there in time of need. And then one other thing about a false friend is someone who scorns, criticizes, critiques. Job chapter 16 and verse 20. Says, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Scorning. You know, someone who was going through Job's situation and all the physical infirmity that he was going through, he didn't need scorning. He didn't need to be forgotten, abhorred. He needed help. He needed strength. He needed encouragement. Can you say this morning that you are a friend? That you are not this kind of a person that we've just outlined, but you are there to help in time of need? Life without a friend. Well, let's look now at what is a friend. What is a friend? A friend knows you. They know all about you. A friend has been described as somebody that knows all about you and loves you anyway. They know your faults. They know your strengths. And they love you anyway. A man identified a friend as the one who steps in when the whole world steps out. There was a British publication that once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And among the thousands of answers received were the following. I get a kick out of sometimes newspapers that have opinion surveys. I know the Day every once in a while. In fact, quite a bit. Puts right on the front page some controversial issue that come up from the week. And then they have a survey and the people send in their thoughts. And some of the things that are said are interesting. But that seemed to be what this was, a prize for the best definition of a friend. Well, if you were to send in something, what would you say? Here's what some said. One who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is secure. Good. Another said, one who understands our silence. Another, a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. And the one that won the prize, according to this publication, was a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Interesting. When no one else is there, a friend sticks. A friend knows you. And a friend is loyal. Loyal. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Loyalty. A friend is loyal. And a brother is there even during times of adversity. A brother is born for adversity. He is made to be there. You know, during times of adversity when friendship really stands out. A friend loves when things are going well and when things are not going well. He loves at all times. A friend loveth at all times. Husband and a wife loveth at all times. Times of difficulty, times of frustration, times of not understanding. A husband and a wife are friends that loveth at all times. A friend is dependable, always around when you need him. Prosperity begets friends, but adversity proves them. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus outlined friendship. John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man. No man, this is the greatest love, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We have the example of that. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friends. He even addressed those that mocked him, those that arrested him, those that violated him. He even addressed them as his friends. He even looked out upon those that crucified him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. The greatest example of love, of friendship, is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What love.
What love?
In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, we see an Old Testament reference to our Savior. Proverbs 18, 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We're going to have friends. We better be a friend. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That can only be referring to Jesus Christ. You have a friend in Jesus who will never leave you, never forsake you. In whatever situation you are going through, you have a friend. And oh, may we show ourselves as that kind of a friend to someone else. A friend knows you. A friend is loyal. Something else about a friend. A friend protects you. Protects you. I think of Joseph and Mary. When Joseph discovered that his wife-to-be was pregnant, not by himself, and he didn't understand. He did not understand until the angel came and revealed to him what had taken place. But Joseph, in that interim, so loved Mary that he would not make her a public spectacle. He would not mock her. He loved her, and he protected her. I think that's a great example of the protection of a friend, even when we don't understand. During the days that he was president, Thomas Jefferson and a group of companions were traveling across the country on horseback. They came to a river which had left its banks because of a recent downpour. I don't know if it was as bad as what we just had. But a swollen river had washed the bridge away. Each rider was forced to ford the river on horseback, fighting for his life against the rapid currents. The very real possibility of death threatened each rider, which caused a traveler who was not part of their group to step aside and watch. After several had plunged in and made it to the other side, the stranger asked President Jefferson if he would ferry him across the river. The president agreed without hesitation. The man climbed on, and shortly thereafter, the two of them made it safely to the other side. As the stranger slid off the back of the saddle onto dry ground, one in the group asked him, "Tell me, why did you select the president to ask this favor of?" The man was shocked, admitting he had no idea it was the president of the United States who had helped him. "All I know," he said, "is that on some of your faces was written the answer, no. And on some of your faces, the answer, yes." His was a yes face. And so he jumped on and was taken safely to the other side. I hope we have a yes face when it comes to aiding another friend, to helping someone in time of need. One of the greatest friendships in the Bible is David and Jonathan. What a friendship they had. You know, and Jonathan had every reason to be jealous of David. Fleshly, anyway. Time and time again, though, Jonathan protected his friend David. Remember who Jonathan was? He was the son of the king. He was the heir apparent to the throne. Generally, it was the son of the king who replaced him upon his father's death. But in this particular case, God had called David to be the next king, not Jonathan. So instead of Jonathan getting all jealous, he accepted God's will, he accepted David as king, and he was the constant friend to David. You know, jealousy can ruin a friendship. You know, we think of this person that we consider to be our friend, and then they get some kind of an award or honor or promotion or whatever it is. And we think, well, why did they get it and not me? Jealousy can ruin friendship. You don't see jealousy in Jonathan's life. You see protection of a friend. Time and time again, Jonathan protected David from even his own father, from Jonathan's father seeking to kill him. Protection is certainly a mark of a true friend. So a friend knows you. A friend is loyal. A friend protects you. Something else about a friend. A friend seeks to bring out the best in you. Are we seeking to bring out the best in another person? Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Henry Ford said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." Now, sometimes that is through constructive criticism. So just because we have a friend who might come alongside of us and have some kind of constructive criticism, that doesn't mean they're not our friend. That probably is what we need. So you as a friend can come alongside of everyone and say someone and say, "You know, I don't think that's in your best interest to do." That could be some of the best advice you could give. Or someone comes alongside of you and says, "I don't think that's the direction you ought to go. Are you sure this is a choice you ought to make?" Thank God for someone like that. Hopefully they do it in the right heart. But sometimes constructive criticism is needed, but most of the time compassionate comfort is needed. We talked about Barnabas last week. Barnabas stood by Paul when everyone else was skeptical. Barnabas stood by John Mark when Paul was skeptical. A friend seeks to bring out the best in you, particularly spiritually. Spiritually. And then the last thing here I want to mention, a friend is interested in your spiritual well-being. If you have someone that we might consider to be a friend, but isn't there to benefit you spiritually, that's not the kind of friend you need. A friend is there to help you in the things of God. John chapter 1. I thought of that. I thought of Peter and his brother, Andrew. Andrew got saved first. Andrew was the one who took Jesus as the Messiah, recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And then what was one of the first things he did? In John chapter 1 and verse 41, it says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah." You can almost sense the excitement in his word. "We have found the Messiah. Simon, Peter, we have found who the Messiah is. He's Jesus." Which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him into the presence of Jesus. And then Jesus do the rest. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And there's a lot more to be said about that. But the idea of Andrew seeing the spiritual need of his brother, Peter, and brought him to Jesus. Many of you have seen the spiritual needs of a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, whoever it might be, and have sought to introduce them to Jesus, to the Messiah. Remember my brother Stan. As the Lord would have it, I was the first one saved in our family. And, of course, had a burden for my parents. Started witnessing to them. They weren't openly receptive at the start, because I probably didn't do things quite right. Probably poured it on more than I should have poured it on. But, you know, when you get saved, you got, you realize what you have and what you want your family to have, and sometimes we don't quite approach it in the proper way. But remember talking to my brother Stan, and I didn't think he was very interested. And you know, from time to time, I'd bring up different things, and then one day I was home, and I think I was in the Air Force at the time, and was home on leave, and we were throwing the ball back and forth playing catch. And Stan said, Larry, I wanted to let you know something. He says, this past Easter, I got saved. And I about dropped my glove. Says, you did? Praise the Lord. And it's been a great relationship ever since. But sometimes you can witness and witness and witness to your family, and it may not be outwardly vocal in front of you, but God's working in their life. My dad got saved the day after our wedding. They called and told us about that the day after our wedding. What a blessing. Keep witnessing to your family. Keep sharing Christ with your family, with your friends. How important that is. And here was Peter, or Andrew, who got saved and just had to go and share that with his brother. A friend is interested in your spiritual well-being. That is a true friend. So what kind of friends do you have? Are they friends that draw you to God? Or are they friends that take you away from God? Those aren't friends. And what kind of a friend are you? What kind of friend am I? Are we a friend that draws or seeks to draw others to God? Or are we drawing people away from God? A friend is someone who knows you, someone who is loyal, someone who protects you, someone who brings out the best in you, someone who is interested in your spiritual well-being. Can you say this is the kind of friend you have? Can you say this is the kind of friend you are? You have the friend in Jesus. Proverbs 18:24, he sticketh closer than a brother. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he will never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on that. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Can you say this morning that Jesus is your friend? Have you made Jesus your friend? If you're not saved this morning, you can have the very best friend there is, the Lord Jesus. Take him this morning. Receive him as your Savior. His arms are wide open to receive you as his friend. This Jesus died to save you from your sin. He rose to give you life, to give you hope, to give you assurance, victory. Will you come to him this morning?
Will you receive Him as your Savior if that be your need today? As a Christian, are you showing yourself as a friend? Are you there when that person has a need? Do you stick? Or do we flee when adversity comes? Let's be that friend. Let's show ourselves friendly. Let's be that example of Christ that that other person needs. This week, we have the opportunity to be a friend. Every week, we have the opportunity to be a friend. Let's do everything we can this week to invite others to come and be here for Friend Day. To be that friend that that person needs. Now, you can't make people come. Don't be discouraged if you ask someone to come. And I mean, just, we really want you to come. But if they don't come, you've done what you could do. Don't be discouraged. Don't be frustrated. I know it's hard. But be there to be that friend. Let's be a friend. Let's make a difference in someone's life this week. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your friendship. Lord, You are a true friend. You are a friend that sticks. You are one that unconditionally loves. Father, thank You for Your friendship. Thank You that You're with us in adversity. Thank You You're with us in what we might consider good times. Thank You You're with us as we go through surgery. As we go through seeing a little baby lying in a hospital bed. Thank You You're with us as we take vows of marriage. As we go through every day at work. Thank You You're with us as we go through school. As we seek to better ourselves educationally and spiritually. Lord, You're with us. Now, Lord, might we be there to help someone else. I pray this week we could make a difference in someone's life. Lord, there's so many out there that need an invitation this week. I pray that we could be there to hand it to them, to ask them. And Lord, we trust You to bring many friends next Sunday. Lord, might there be someone here today that needs You as their friend. They need to bring You into their life, to receive You as their Messiah, as their Savior. Might You save that one this morning that needs to be saved. And might You challenge that Christian this morning that needs to be challenged. Oh Lord, just commit ourselves unto You to be a friend. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think of, there's someone that you're burdened for.